This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We had a chair, and now we don't have a chair. There's no joke. There are six chairs in the studio, but not one of them is the chair that made me so happy, that gave me such great energy and life yesterday for the show, actually ending up this morning. Nope, there's no chair. It's gone. What do you think?
I blame that hooligan, Zach Gelb.
Why?
Just because I want to blame him.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I don't want his name mentioned on my show. So
okay,
there's all right. That. All right. So I don't think that this is an insurmountable problem because I'm sure someone stole it because they're really nice chairs. So we'll just need to get to the next commercial break.
And find it.
And I will go pilfer it back. I'll go roll it back in here. I am, for the first time, wearing snow boots for this edition of the show, although not nearly the kind of snow boots necessary for the second half of the Steelers-Browns game in Cleveland. That is my kind of snow. As a girl who grew up in New England and a girl whose mom's whole side of the family is from Northeast Ohio, that's my kind of weather right there. I think it makes a lot of people break out in hives, that snow, but yes. Oh, so pretty. So much fun to play in. Not that I've ever tried playing an actual NFL game in that kind of snow. So it's easy for me to say I love football in the snow. But I've played goofy football in the snow. You know, when you play pickup with your friends and you are tackling just because you want to fall down in the snow. So that is my kind of snow. I loved it. And it was crazy too, because in the first half, it was snowing relatively hard, but it wasn't sticking. And then the ground gets cold enough and all of a sudden, boom, it's a blizzard, baby. So we didn't have that kind of snow in New Jersey, but we did get our first snow. Other half was already in bed, so he missed it, which is good because he doesn't really like snow all that much. But I loved it, and I've got the four-wheel drive with Princess Leia, so we're good to go. I am really impressed with the Browns fans who were having a party in the snow there at the stadium. It was really cool. And this just defies logic. The fact that the first half was relatively brutal, is that fair to say? Relatively brutal offense. There wasn't a lot of offense until late in the second quarter when the Browns were able to get their first lead of the game, and that was Nick Chubb with, believe it or not, his 50th career touchdown. He gets in from 2 yards out. Then they tack on a field goal right before they get to halftime, and the Browns are, they're playing well at this point, had found some momentum. The Steelers, though, it looked a lot more like it did against the Ravens, where they just weren't able to take advantage of their opportunities. Plenty of chances with the football. And if you're only looking at the stats, you kind of wonder, how the heck did Pittsburgh lose this game? I'm just going to throw a few at you, and then we'll talk about the game as it is. Just as a reminder, though, I don't always say I told you so, but when I do say it, I really like to say it. So don't ever believe people who tell you they don't want to tell you I told you so. That's a lot of tell you, told you, tell you, told you. But you get what I'm saying. People love to tell you I told you so. And when I am like a blind squirrel who finds a nut, no, it's general principle. When it comes to games between division rivals, throw the records out the window. That stuff does not matter. When it comes to rivalry games where there is familiarity that breeds contempt, don't you ever worry about what the records say. Because, and it's funny, someone did ask Myles Garrett after the game whether or not it was personal. Heck yeah, it's personal when it happens to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Heck yeah, it's personal when your season's gone completely off the rails and now you're playing the role of spoiler. Of course it's personal. It's always personal when it comes to these types of deep-seated rivalries that go way back. And then you throw snow into the mix, and it is delicious. But if you look at the stats, again, this will kind of blow you away. The Browns are 1 of 10 on third down. They did not convert a third down in this game until the very late stages. 1 of 10. They have fewer yards than the Steelers, fewer drives than the Steelers. They don't get over 100 yards rushing, and they have more penalties and more turnovers than the Steelers. Now, that doesn't always tell the story, but it does beg the question, how the heck did the Steelers lose this game? Well, you mess around, and this is what happens. Too many empty drives. And then credit the Browns defense because that was a major force in this game. Russell Wilson sacked 4 times. Another, I think it was 9 quarterback hits. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it was another 9 QB hits. Myles Garrett was terrific. Snow did not slow him down. You could tell he has played in it before. And now he is, again, rising through the ranks when it comes to the Browns, when it comes to consistency, when it comes to being a guy that you can count on, even in the snow, even when he's injured, even when the season has gone horribly wrong. So the Browns can put this proverbial feather in their cap, though I dare say there are more opportunities for them to play the role of spoiler. Meanwhile, the Steelers have got to regroup. One stat that I really appreciate from the Browns that does tell you the story in the fourth quarter. The Browns were 4 for 4 on fourth down. The number of times that Jerry Jeudy connected with Jameis Winston in this game, late stages of this game, every time they needed to move the chains, it seemed like Jerry Jeudy was the target. Now, granted, they had a couple of huge misses late in the fourth quarter with the game hanging in the balance. They go back-to-back turnovers, a fumble, and then an interception on a ball that was overthrown by Jameis Winston. And after the fumble, the Steelers are able to score. That's where they take the lead. So in that moment, it almost looked like Cleveland had given away this game, and the Steelers had found their balance, if you will. They'd gotten back to even. But after the interception, the defense for Cleveland forces a 3-and-out. Crazy to think that when the blizzard really got going, there were 27 points scored in the fourth quarter. That's amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy almost Friday. There are few phrases in my radio vernacular that I like more than that one. Happy almost Friday. I'd love to connect with you online at A-Law Radio if you have your Twix open or if you're eating a Twix. And then on our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. As I say, we didn't get nearly the kind of snow that they got in Cleveland. And I'm so jealous. I had family members from the area, Northeast Ohio, sending me texts about the snow. It was awesome. And this is how we kick off week number 12. It's the first time Jameis Winston ever played in the snow. And early on, the field was still plenty green. But much later, it was white. So Pittsburgh comes into this game with a 5-game streak. Hadn't yet lost with Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback, but hadn't scored a touchdown in their last game. Nick Chubb early on, we mentioned, is able to get into the end zone. That's second quarter. And the Browns have that 10-3 lead at halftime. And honestly, the offense got better from there for the home team.
1:49 to go in the third. They have it on their own 35-yard line with Nick Chubb the back and Winston working from under center. First play of the drive is a play fake. Jameis rolling to the left, eyes downfield, throwing, wants the tight end. Blake Whitehart, what a catch! Hello! He's at the Steeler 36, activated this morning. Welcome back.
They're going to go in shotgun. I think they're going to throw this football here.
We have Ford in the game. Moore, Judy, Njoku to the left. Thrash in the game to the right. Now Ford motions to the left. Winston to throw. Fourth down. Winston under pressure. Scrambling. Pump fake. He's going to run. He jumps. Touchdown! Jameis Winston on fourth down!
Like it was in slow motion, Andrew.
Because
DJ Watt almost got around him. Jameis trying to find his footing on the frigid surface, and he does just enough. Leaps into the end zone, falls on his back. His crowd is going nuts here.
That's Andrew Siciliano and company on the Browns Radio Network. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Jameis Winston resembled Josh Allen and his run against the Chiefs last weekend. It wasn't quite that way. In fact, because of the snow and because Jameis is not a running quarterback, he's not fast. He's not Peyton Manning with cinder blocks for feet, but he's not fast. And the snow really made the footing difficult. And so it's almost like he was running in place when he first got started. Not that he had to go very far, but just the churning, the effort to keep churning. But he did bounce off a defender and go barreling into the end zone once he got some momentum. It was really impressive. Another time when he was rolling out, same thing. It felt like it took 3-4 seconds for him to get through those first couple steps because of the footing and because he's just not a guy that runs a lot. But boy, did he show an aggressive mentality and leadership. Now, what you don't hear in that sequence on the Browns Radio Network, a drop touchdown pass. This is the era of betting, producer Pete, where you have people freaking out over David Njoku dropping a ball. Now, it was in his hands. I'm not telling you he shouldn't have caught it. And I guess if you're really cynical and you believe that guys are out there throwing games or getting paid to drop passes, whatever, stupid crap like that, right? I don't believe any of that. I don't believe any of these guys are on the take. He just dropped the ball. But it was right in his hands, and I wanted to see it again on replay when I got into work. And so I'm looking at it. I Googled Njoku drop pass end zone. The number of people freaking out because it affected either their betting line or it affected their fantasy football is crazy. Oh, just crazy.
People want to be millionaires quick.
Mm. And if I'm not mistaken, so he ended up catching the 2-point conversion, and it was a much more difficult catch, which is, it's just football, right? It's sports. And in the snow, he elevates over the top of two defenders and he's able to catch the 2-point conversion. And then people are really mad because it doesn't count as a catch. So they can't figure out why he drops a TD pass, but then they hauls in the 2-point conversion and they don't get credit for that.
Well, it's a very simple concept. That's why it's not a touchdown pass.
Yes, but it was funny, the comments when you were searching online.
It's the end of people's lives.
Right, drop touchdown pass. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So in that respect, in the fourth quarter, the way that the Browns took control, I was really impressed with the driving mentality, the aggressive mentality. And here's the thing. The Browns have nada to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose, which means they can go for broke in these situations. However, they did have a couple of turnovers in there too, which ultimately didn't come back to bite them, but did put the Steelers in a position to be able to take the lead in the fourth.
Wilson gets the snap. Browns bringing five men, throws over the middle of the field. Calvin Austin touchdown.
touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Calvin Austin, you're a giant, man. What a giant. I mean, to come through in a post pattern right there, and Russ let him perfectly, dropped it right in.
That was following the Cleveland fumble about midway through the fourth quarter. The Calvin Austin TD, really impressive. Russell Wilson zinging it through the snow. And that's the part that's crazy. A lot of these guys have never played in snow like this, or if they have, it certainly has been a while. And the offense was maudlin. It was mediocre in the first half at best. The number of possessions in which the Steelers came up empty in the first half, a missed field goal, turned the ball over on downs, a fumble. They could not find any momentum. And then here in the fourth quarter, somebody presses the on switch. And even though they can barely see the first down markers, Al Michaels couldn't even see the jerseys. I mean, he was having a hard time identifying players in the late stages of this game. It was actually, did you see the, I think it was a Chris Boswell extra point attempt, and you couldn't even see whether or not it went through the uprights. So it was that kind of snow, which was pretty cool. So the Cleveland fumble leads to the go-ahead TD for the Steelers, but very next possession, Jameis Winston airmails a ball, throws a pick, and Pittsburgh goes three and out. So, again, those are the missed opportunities that keep you up at night, that will keep Russell Wilson up at night, that will keep the coaching staff for the Steelers wondering what they could have done differently. So after that three and out, again, the aggressive nature of the play calling and the way that Jameis Winston was directing this offense was, it was entertaining to watch. Makes you wonder if they had started Jameis Winston from the beginning, could this be a different Browns team? There's no way to know that. No way at all. Deshaun Watson's the guy they paid. Deshaun Watson is the guy they hitched their wagon to. For better or for worse, the ownership for the Browns put them in this position, and Kevin Stefanski likely did not have a choice over who to start. But once Deshaun got hurt and Jameis got a couple of games under his belt, I mean, you could see the potential there. And of course, it helps that Nick Chubb is back and healthy.
Shotgun from the two, Chubb the back. Jameis the snap. Give to Chubb. Chubb running. Chubb, touchdown. Nick Chubb did it. He stayed on his feet. The Browns take the lead. 57 seconds to go. And the Browns lead the Steelers 24-19.
Again, the call on the Browns radio network. That drive was 9 plays, 2.5 minutes. They were able to work the clock. Only 45 yards. They didn't have to go very far because of the Pittsburgh three and out that left Cleveland with the short field. But before they got into the end zone, a 4th-and-3 converted on a Jameis Winston pass to Jerry Jeudy. I think that was the one where he had to go down low to catch the ball. So the ball kind of hit him in the stomach as he's down on the ground. There was another 3rd-and-2. And this was interesting, too. A decision by the Steelers were initially, they declined the penalty that was on a 3rd down. Then they took the penalty. And so they kind of went back and forth. Either way, the Browns were able to convert another. At this point, it was a 3rd-and-6, again, because they declined the penalty, to Jerry Jeudy for 15 yards. So it didn't matter either way because they were going for it. And then once they got into the end zone, the ball to Nick Chubb, a couple of touchdowns for him in a blizzard, but glad to see him back on the field. So this is a painful one, I can imagine, for the Steelers. Good for the Browns. You'll hear from Jameis, and he's fired up. This is like Jameis on speed. I'm sure he's not on speed, but he is so fired up. Again, first time playing in the snow for him, and the way they finished was terrific. But a painful one for the Steelers, who left way too many points out there. That's been an issue for them. And now in back-to-back games, are unable to capitalize on opportunities. And even though they beat the Ravens, it was just the 6 field goals. They didn't have that kind of margin for error in the snow and on the road against Cleveland. This is a completely different story. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, we'll get up that poll for Game of the Week. I mean, I would have voted for this one in the snow because I love it, but this one's done. So instead, we'll look at the rest of the schedule. We're going to give you a preview of Week 12. Also, big weekend in college football as we get closer and closer to conference championships, which are early in December, and then followed by the college football playoff rankings, which will determine the 12. The American League and National League MVPs unveiled just a few hours ago. No surprise that Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are the winners. But did you know they're back-to-back winners of a unanimous variety? So they both win every single vote. And I've seen them on TV a couple of times on MLB Network replaying those conversations with both Shohei and Aaron Judge. So congratulations to them. Yeah, lots of fun stuff we're going to get to on this edition of the show. So would love to connect with you, Steelers fans. If you need to vent, we're here. 855-212-4227. But I know we have a lot of happy fans in Cleveland. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
For the 35, 6 seconds left. Browns up 5. Defend this and beat the Steelers. Russell Wilson to throw. Back to throw. Has time. Hit as he throws. Ball up into the air towards the end zone. Knock it down. Jump ball. Incomplete! Browns win! And they're making snow angels. 24-19. The Browns beat the Steelers. At Huntington Bank Field. Yes, sir.
That was an unbelievable atmosphere for a football game. Our fans were unbelievable. Maybe believable, just how incredible they were from the jump. And then the snow globe. It's a special night for our fans, and I think they deserve it.
It was beautiful for these fans, man. I appreciate everybody that came out here in these conditions, and I just pray that everyone gets home safely. All right, please celebrate. All right, but please get home safely.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you missed it, NFL Network is replaying this beaut of a football game in the snow. This is the kind of stuff you see in January. You don't generally see this type of a snowstorm or a snow game in November, pre-Thanksgiving. But if you're familiar with lake effect snow, you know this can always happen in places up underneath the Great Lakes. And I adore it. I'm really jealous of all those Cleveland fans who were hanging out there in the snow. And as you hear Kevin Stefanski say, they hung around. It was a great atmosphere. In a minute, I'll let you hear a bite that I pulled from the Amazon Prime postgame show. And you could hear the fans behind the Prime set as they're interviewing Jameis Winston, just still partying like it's 1999. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. Just heard from, let's see, Abdurrahman, and he says the Steelers let one slip away. Man, Amy. Yeah, I agree. This one's going to leave a mark. We'll see whether or not it comes back to bite the Steelers, but you cannot play with, sounds funny to say play with fire when they're in the snow. You cannot.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Gamble, you cannot rest on, hey, we've got a 4-game win streak and we're good to go. You cannot leave it to the last second, not in rivalry games. You can't waste opportunities, not on the road against a division opponent that knows you well, where there is no love lost. Try saying that really fast. And see, the thing is, I stole the chair back, so I should be a much better broadcaster again. Somebody rolled it out into the highway. It's a war, Pete. I'm telling you, it's a war. Every single time I come in here, I'll go out, grab the chair, and roll it back in if that's what it takes.
You should put a piece of tape on it, and you'll know what chair it is.
Amy's chair.
Or just like a piece of tape in a random spot.
But like in elementary school, when you had to write on a piece of masking tape your name and throw it on your cubby or your coat
desk.
Or your desk or your little notebook, your trapper keeper. You had to put. Do people use masking tape anymore? I haven't said that phrase in a really long time.
I think so, yeah.
I love duct tape, but I don't know that I've used masking tape in a while.
I've used masking tape. Yeah, it's still around.
Is it?
Still existing. So
I once used duct tape to reattach a bumper that had fallen off my Saturn Ion. No joke, it lasted for 2 more years like that.
Wow.
It was amazing. Yeah, duct tape is, it's the tape of the gods.
Wonder, does wonders.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. See, my spaghetti plate brain, I go from masking tape to duct tape to my bumper to just how it happens. Okay, back to football. 855-212-4227. So Jameis Winston was on the set talking about the game and the excitement. And like I said, he's never played in snow before like this. And so for him, this was a whole new experience. And he was out there chucking and ducking with wild abandon. But what the heck happened in the fourth quarter when the snow really started coming down?
That fourth quarter, it really was like it was a whole paradigm shift. Like, we were playing so well offensively, and then bang, bang, back-to-back drives with turnovers. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this is really an NFL's film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting like I felt like my feet started getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And man, it was so good. And it was so great to end up getting that win.
I thought Jameis was good. Obviously, the play there to Jerry at the end, that's big time. Had another fourth down, I think, to Jerry before that.
Uh-huh.
So we're really proud of how he played and fought.
Absolutely. The leadership they're seeing from Jameis, I know he has seized this opportunity. He's so grateful to be playing again, considering that it was 2 years in between starts. Remember being there in New Orleans and not really having a direction in his NFL career. And even though he maybe didn't know that he was going to get on the field this season, there at least was some reasonable doubt that Deshaun Watson would make it all the way through. He did not. And now here's Jameis. Now, I have no idea what happens moving forward. For the Cleveland Browns, their football team, their franchise, the direction, those are questions that have to be answered in the next few months and on into 2025. But what I do know is that this time last year, now, don't quote because I don't know exactly when Joe Flacco took over. But this time last year, they were going through this revolving door of quarterbacks. Once again, Watson was injured. They didn't have a steady QB until Joe Flacco signed with them and became this veteran presence, this leader, a guy who would just get out there and do his job and take care of his business. Well, now, Jameis Winston's more melodramatic than that, and he's very animated, and he's going to milk this for all it's worth, and he should. He should, because it's got to be really sweet for him to get back on the field and have a receiver like Jerry Jeudy to throw to, and David Njoku, and Nick Chubb, and Jerome Ford, and the other people around him. But last year, the Browns made the wrong choice, I think, by letting Joe Flacco go. And once again, returning to Deshaun Watson, changing their entire quarterback room. So here they are. They've got a veteran QB. He is fired up. He's happy to be in Cleveland. They look more productive. The defense was terrific against the Steelers in this game. What will the Browns do come the offseason? I mean, that's a major question that has to be answered. But I know there were a lot of fans in Cleveland who were ticked when they let Joe Flacco go. Maybe, just maybe, they'll make some noise in this offseason or as the season wears on, not wanting the team to move on from Jameis if they can continue to win a few ball games and play the role of spoiler. Larry's in Cleveland. Larry, what do you think about Jameis?
Oh, man, I tell you, Amy. You know, it seemed like he was, God, from this area. I mean, he's from down Florida growing up, but his performance is like he's from Northeast Ohio. That's how great he played. You know something about him, too, ain't coming here, though? I remember him last year. He was with the Saints. And he saw the Browns fan. It was like, man, it was freezing. I mean, it was worse than it was yesterday. I'm talking the temperature. And he said he wanted to be a part of this when he saw the fans out there in this type of weather. But, man, I tell you what. Also, too, about this game, everybody mentioned about the players give up on Coach Stefanski.
Really? I've not heard that. I've actually not heard that.
Yeah, yeah. They said the locker, the last game last week, Amy, when, who was it? They were playing New Orleans there, right? Because remember how the Saints were decimated there?
Mm-hmm.
They had so many injuries and how they beat us. And around here, they're saying, well, everybody gave up on Coach Stefanski. And I'll tell you what, those players did not give up.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. Sometimes that's fan speak because they're frustrated and they're trying to come up with someone to blame. I don't think in any way this locker room has given up on Stefanski. He's a two-time coach of the year since he took over, and they're doing the best they can. I mean, had they started to Jameis Winston at the beginning of the season, maybe they wouldn't be in this position.
Well, you know something, too. Kurt Street mentioned, too, remember last year how many quarterbacks we went through last year?
Five.
This year, the offensive line, eight different combinations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been tough.
It's been, but, God, I tell you, it was phenomenal. Remember the Steelers game? That was great. And the AFC Central, the AFC North.
Right.
And, God, it just, anything can happen in this league. But Jameson, man, the guy's phenomenal, man.
Well, he's playing well. I mean, you know he's a crapshoot. He has a love affair with interceptions, so you might see a few more. He's always had an interceptions problem, even going back to his days at Florida State. But he played extremely well in this game.
Well, Amy, you mentioned that. Remember that one throw he had? That one throw he threw the INT we thought was over with?
Mm-hmm.
He came back. What he did, it was phenomenal, man. Mm-hmm. His poise and these type of conditions, never playing it before.
Yeah, it was cool.
He did a hell of a job.
He definitely did. I would agree with you there, Larry. Thanks so much. Enjoy that win. Let's talk to Don, who's in Cleveland. What do you think, Don? How's the snow?
I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan on my way home from the game, and I am ticked because
I bet.
I don't mind coaches being aggressive, but I hate when they're stupid. I mean, a 58-yard field goal in that weather, fourth and one, and
you throw
they don't bring in Justin Fields till late in the game. They should have used him a lot earlier. I mean, it was just horrible.
I would say another one that I didn't love was the third and six, about 3.5 to go in the game, when they ended up trying to pass it deep downfield. So I think Justin came in on that shot, that one too. But they tried to pass it as opposed to using his legs or trying to get traction. I think the general rule, I've heard this from different players, is that when you're playing in snow like this, the offense has the advantage because the offense knows where you're going, right? Like it takes a long time for the defense to catch up, so to speak, only because the footing is rough. And so if the offense already knows where they're going, defense is going to be a step slow. And on a third and six, they try to chuck it deep downfield as opposed to running the ball. So, yeah, kind of interesting stuff there.
Yeah, I just was very disappointed with the coaching tonight.
Mm. What about the fact that they wasted a lot of opportunities in the first half? That was disappointing, too.
Oh, that, too. I mean, it was a fun game, though. I mean, none of the fans were leaving. I mean, it was probably 60-40 Cleveland Steelers fans there. I mean, it was a blast. But, yeah, we came up short.
At what point did you start to get covered by snow?
We bought tickets. We were actually in the last row up underneath the overhang, so we didn't get snowed.
That's not as much fun.
We were good.
Well, I'm glad that you had a fun time, even though your team lost. Safe travels home.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I would be ticked, too, if I was a Steelers fan. And I don't want to hear anything about trap game or anything like that. This is one of, I think, four games in a row for the Steelers where they are facing division opponents. They know what this means. They know what this is about. Yeah, the Commanders, remember, they beat the Commanders on the road in D.C. by a point, beat the Ravens by 2 points. Now they've lost to the Browns. They still have Bengals and Browns before they go Eagles to break up the games inside the AFC North. But, man, they finish with Ravens, Chiefs, and Bengals again. So this schedule is tough as opposed to, say, some other ones. If you look around, just kind of depends upon the divisions that you're playing right outside of your own. But this division, as much as it's not had the same bite as it did a year ago, meaning all four teams above 500, it still is a tough one because of how well these teams know each other and just the fact that they could give a flying you-know-what about the opponent. No one's helping anyone else. By the way, George Pickens had interesting things to say after the game about why they lost and what happened, and also about the Browns as a team. So if you haven't heard it, we'll get to that coming up at A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page as well. We're going to get the Game of the Week poll up very soon, and then we'll try to think what else. I mean, we also are going to talk Cardinals on this edition of the show, just because no one's paying attention to an Arizona team that is now on top of the NFC West coming out of a bye. And I think it's an interesting story with Kyler Murray even hearing MVP chants. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Cardinals. We're going to preview what's to come on MVPs. Speaking of MVPs in baseball as well, as that award season concludes. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And Amber, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. In the snow in Cleveland, the Browns coughed up a 12-point fourth quarter lead, but came storming back.
Shotgun from the two, Chubb the back. Jameis the snap. Give to Chubb. Chubb running. Chubb! Touchdown! Nick Chubb did it. He stayed on his feet. The Browns take the lead. 57 seconds to go, and the Browns lead the Steelers 24-19.
Pair of touchdown runs for Nick Chubb as the Browns shock the Steelers 24-19. Call courtesy of the Browns Radio Network. Jameis Winston threw for 219, ran for a score. Russell Wilson, 270 yards in the air, touchdown, but fell to 4-1 as the Pittsburgh starter. Steelers now 8-3 overall, Browns 3-8. 49ers still hopeful Brock Purdy can play with that shoulder injury. However, he remains limited, unclear if he'll be able to go. Brandon Allen would get the nod if he can't. Giants now in the hands of Tommy DeVito with Daniel Jones sent to the bench. Jones under no delusions that he's ever going to regain this job as he met the media for the first time since his demotion.
The opportunity to play for the New York Giants was truly a dream come true, and I'm extremely grateful to the Mara and Tisch families for the chance to play here. The Giants are truly a first-class organization, and I have nothing but genuine respect and appreciation for the people who have built it and who helped carry on that tradition.
NBA Magic escaped the Lakers 119-118 on a Franz Wagner three with 2.5 remaining. He finished with 37. Spurs outscored the Jazz 126-118. Harrison Barnes, 25 points, 10 boards. Hornets outlast the Pistons 123-121 in overtime, and the Raptors too much for the T-Wolves 110-105. Off the floor, Paul George dealing with a bone bruise in his knee. He's going to miss at least two games for the Sixers. College football, Georgia Tech scored with just 22 seconds remaining. They upend NC State 30-29. College hoops, Tennessee overpowered Virginia 64-42. Jeremy Roach, a three at the buzzer. Baylor outlasted St. John's 99-98 in double overtime. And Indiana topped UNC Greensboro 69-58. Shohei Ohtani brought home his third MVP in the last 4 years, all of them unanimous. First ever to go 50-50, of course, with the Dodgers. He also joined Frank Robinson, only players to win MVP in both the American and National League. Meanwhile, Aaron Judge, also a unanimous winner, his second MVP in the last 3 years for the Yankees. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Getting down to it with 6 seconds remaining. Is there time for a quick out and a shot at the end zone, or will the Steelers heave one into the end zone? Wilson has Warren to his left, three receivers to his right. Austin is the lone receiver to the left of the formation. Wilson back. Wilson going to heave toward the end zone, lofting one high in the air, and it is batted down, incomplete. The clock has expired, and the Browns have upset the Steelers 24-19.
It's painful, but it's life in this business. We'll take a look at the tape and learn from it. Man, we're in the midst of some thick AFC North action, and so no rest for the weary, man. We got a big one coming up. But again, compliment the Browns on bringing it, particularly early on. Took us too long to warm up to the action.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mike Tomlin had high praise for the Browns. As you can imagine, they all respect one another, even if the players don't necessarily on the field, at least not in the thick of action. But yeah, they don't have time to lick their wounds because it's right back into AFC North battles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the final call there on Steelers Radio. I don't know if there was any chance that a Hail Mary would work in this weather, although I was really surprised with how these two offenses moved the ball. Once the snow really picked up in the fourth, so did the offenses. That's odd, right? Predictions, those types of predilections or percentages of this or that. Yeah, they make no sense, nor do they hold any water in the NFL because the NFL never goes according to script. It is the best reality show on TV. You can find me online at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. A little bit later on the show, we're going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals, who aren't getting a ton of attention coming out of the NFC West and their bye week. But right now, they've got four consecutive wins, and we'll put that on the line against the Seahawks in Week 12. Is that one of the After Hours Game of the Week candidates? We will find out. So we're going to get that poll up very soon. You can always find our polls on our show Twix at Amy After Hours and also on our Facebook page.
Thick.
It's so thick. The snow is so thick.
Thick.
And I was so jealous of the snow there on the shores of Lake Erie. So a little more from the Steelers. Russell Wilson agrees. This was a game that they let get away.
We should have won that game. We felt like we battled. We fought our butts off, and you know, it was a tough environment. Obviously, we wanted to win this one, but unfortunately, we came up short.
Now, he didn't throw any shade on the Browns. He said this was on us. It's a tough one. We let this one go. Still, though, I mean, a couple of things that I appreciate about the Browns. They were 3-for-4 in the red zone, and they were 4-for-4 on fourth down. So when they had to have those clutch plays, the offense delivered, but so did the defense. And how much credit? I'm not sure you can give enough credit to Myles Garrett for the way that he spearheaded this defensive attack. I know he's been playing with injuries this season. 3 sacks for Garrett, 3 extra quarterback hits. And so he made life miserable for the Steelers. We'll hear from him momentarily. George Pickens, though, you could tell that he was also frustrated. Probably the entire Steelers locker room was. And yet he chooses to express his frustration a different way.
Conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. The condition kind of saved them today. It was the conditions. Changed, of course, the playing field. That's a duh. But the thing is, both teams have to deal with the surface. Both teams have to deal with the snow. I believe it's an advantage for the offense, like I said, and I've heard different analysts talk about playing in the snow for years. And again, what they would tell you is the offense knows where it's going. So they've got a little bit of a head start only because they can take the most direct route to that spot, whereas the defense has to try to watch and then catch up because you really can't get a head start. You can't get a jump when it comes to the snow. And there were some penalties late as well that helped the Cleveland Browns continue in their quest to come from behind with that last Nick Chubb touchdown in the final minute. In the case of George Pickens, I certainly understand the frustration. I don't know that it helps you at all when you have to turn around and face Cleveland again. Now, next time, maybe it's not in the snow, maybe it's at your house, and there will definitely be extra motivation. But to say the Cleveland Browns aren't a good football team at all when they just held your team to 19 points and took the lead multiple times there in the game. When the Steelers had it, the Browns took it away. It just sounds like sour grapes or sour milk. Myles Garrett was asked whether or not this game was personal.
Personal? No, you try to take things a bit personally, yeah. You know, there's you know, certain aspects of the game that, you know, you want to, you know, use as motivation, as, you know,
or newspaper material, as they call it, or clipboard, newspaper. Whatever they call it. But they use that as motivation to go out there and play your very best and just try to make that as contagious as possible to the men around you.
Okay, I love the fact that he throws out the newspaper. Yes, clipboard, bulletin board, I think is what he was looking for. But newspaper? When was the last time you heard a 20-something or a millennial of any age talk about a newspaper? I don't think my nieces have ever read a newspaper. I've got to be honest.
It's very much in a past tense if they were talking about it.
No, that's great. Good for you, Myles Garrett. You know who's a huge fan of Myles Garrett? That's Jameis Winston, who raved on the Amazon Prime set about his teammates' leadership.
Man, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the way that my locker is right next to him. And it's unbelievable how he comes to work every single day on a mission. And he actually spoke to the team before we hit the field coming out for the game to start. And he was like, man, we're going to fight. We got to do this. We got to pull together and we got to find a way to win. And what a resilient win we were able to get with him leading the charge.
Seriously, listen to the fans behind Jameis Winston. He's on the TNF on Prime set, so the Thursday Night Football set there on Prime. They're in the snow. I think they have a cover over the top of them, but it's cold. It's blustery. The fans are still out there yelling, cheering. It's, 40 minutes after the game now. He was still in his uniform, so he hadn't yet gotten to the locker room, but for the fans to still be there exulting. I mean, this win, it chased away all the cold. No frostbite when you get a win over your arch rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in front of your dog pound. What a night for Cleveland. A little bit of vindication there, and the Steelers have got to regroup. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.